Chandler Bing's job?
Processing. Well, Harry's a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
Yeah, you beat like you stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown, Clemson, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast, really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle, I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
And welcome in. Glad to have you with us. William Kwok and Ms. Kelly Gramley. We are live. It is Out of Bounds on a Tiger Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. We're here in the indoor practice facility in Clemson. A happy pre-Thanksgiving. I think Dabo wished everyone a happy Thanksgiving like five times today in a press conference. So before, during, and after. And so we'll do that in the show today.
Cool. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
What do you say, like, when a question was asked to Dabo and someone said happy belated birthday, what's the opposite of that when you wish someone a happy something before the thing happens? You know what I'm
happy
asking?
Happy early birthday, happy early Thanksgiving.
Happy early
turkey day.
Okay, so happy early Thanksgiving.
Well, because this is our last show.
That's true. Tomorrow, because of travel, and because Kelly just can't wait to get across the border. She can't wait to get across the border to Texas. This will be our last show. And I shouldn't just blame it on you, because women's basketball travel is going to
be on an airplane.
That's true. So we're off tomorrow and then Thursday, but we'll be back Friday. We'll be a multi-site show. This will be multi-site. We're going multi-site. And I'll be live in Daytona, enjoying like 75, and you'll be here enjoying, I don't know, 58 and windy and cloudy, I think.
That's probably right in terms of the weather here. But do you know what the weather is in the homeland?
Let me guess. It's probably an oppressive 79 with no humidity.
That's actually not too wrong. Well, I have the Austin weather. Let me get Houston real quick. I'm going to actually be in H-Town, not in Austin. Oddly enough.
That's not better.
Oh, no. Right? Houston's never
you
better.
You hate Houston.
But the family will be there, so, you know, it's okay. Well, so in basically on Friday, that day, the high in Houston, okay, the high in Austin's 78. I can't find it. The high in Austin's 78. So that's about Daytona. That's about what you're going to have.
And no humidity, right?
And in Clemson,
I guess Houston's probably has more humidity.
It's going to be 59 and sunny. Gosh, you were so right. I mean, it says sunny, not cloudy. Right now, it is literally 58 and cloudy, what you just said.
I'm telling you.
That is November in Clemson. 58 and cloudy.
I know where I am. Your feet are, Monty Lee. I know where my feet are.
Do you also eat pressure like candy?
My feet are. No, I just eat candy.
Okay.
Lots to get to today. Dabo Swinney's press conference. He's a little late today. Maybe a little extra prep, like, beforehand.
He's a busy man.
He is. I mean, he's in high demand. There was a lot of, I'll just throw it out. Like, there are a lot of people in the press conference today that weren't media. It wasn't a particularly crowded press conference. Like, I probably assumed wrongly that there would be, you know, a couple extra national guys, maybe like the usual suspects and all. Man, a lot of people in the press conference were not media today. That was a little bit odd.
Well, and I think that speaks to my point and my question I wanted to ask you, which I think you agree with me, and I think a lot of people listening would agree with this, but I think the Clemson-Carolina rivalry, I mean, is obviously heated, and it means so much to people around here, and as it should, but, and Dabo kind of made this point too, because he was referencing the Alabama-Auburn rivalry that he grew up in and that he experienced for, I think he said 33 years, because he lived in Bama for 33 years. And this is his 15th Clemson Carolina game when you combine assistant coaching and head coaching. So it's not like he is new to this one, but he talked about how the Alabama-Auburn rivalry is so important nationally, generally because each team is playing for something, some sort of national stakes, or they're playing for that division, which is always really important. But I think that the Clemson-Carolina rivalry is underappreciated nationally, mainly because rarely are both teams playing for something of national significance. I mean, nothing better than this stat to display that, in that Clemson has not defeated a South Carolina team with 8 wins since 2000. They've had some chances. Now, obviously the 5-peat, Carolina won all those games and those were their best teams, but
right.
Most of the time, Carolina enters this game without 8 wins. So how can it be nationally relevant? Or in some of those years during that streak, Clemson didn't have 8 wins. So I think it's a little nationally underappreciated. But also, I think that it's not, especially recently, it's not Clemson's fault. I like that Carolina has 8 wins in this game. I like that Carolina is somewhat relevant. I think it makes for a better rivalry.
I would agree. The rivalry will always be behind some others. Manny Robinson had a great piece on this.
Yes, and I saw that
Greenville
as well.
Online, the Greenville News, and in lieu of not having Manny on, we'll say that you should check out Manny's work and Will Vandenborg's work, because they won't be with us this week because we'll be off tomorrow. But I thoroughly enjoyed that perspective of Clemson, South Carolina will not be that type of rivalry until there are national stakes over time. Think about the rivalries that you would put up ahead of this game nationally. Michigan, Ohio State.
Yep.
For decades, this rivalry has had uber national meaning, like 1-2 type stuff. Alabama, Auburn, you go 10-1, lose to the other, and there's a rock thrown through your window. Bill Curry actually, I think, was 9-1 going into the game and finished 9-2 or 10-1. And lost the game. I guess he was coach of Alabama at the time. I got to go back and look at that. I get the story confused a little bit, but and he was kind of run out of town because he had a rock thrown through his window. A great year, lose to the rival like by 3 or 6, and get pummeled to death by bricks. I mean, like that, like legitimately, the loser of that game is trying to like stone people. I mean, that's what it is. And Clemson and South Carolina is. It's not there. And quite honestly, in some ways, it's good that it's not there. Some of that is bad. Some of that is like too obsessive. It's too ridiculous. It was Alabama. They had some good teams. 87-90, Bill Curry was there. Like I said, in some ways, it's good that it's a little more level-headed than some of these other rivalries. Although it does seem, and I'll just again throw it out there for the South Carolina fans to hate away with obvious, clear examples of why I'm wrong on this. But when it goes to Williams-Brice, it seems a little more serious because they can't help but like pelt Clemson's players with debris. Anytime you're throwing stuff at opposing teams or like on the field. The game seems a little more. It just seems a little more meaningful when people are just, you know, throwing things at other people. So every couple years, it seems like a more serious game when it goes there because the people freak out; they can't handle it.
Well, obviously, I don't condone people being pelted with stuff, but I think selfishly, I would prefer. I want Clemson and Carolina to be on the Auburn-Bama level. I think that would be so fun. I think it's important, and it makes the rivalry important nationally and makes, people out on the West Coast are paying attention to Bama-Auburn. They're not paying attention to Clemson-Carolina unless, of course, Clemson loses. But, I mean, the point of this whole thing is I like that Carolina has 8 wins. I prefer them to be better. And a lot of the recent lack of national relevance in this rivalry has been on Carolina. It hasn't been Clemson's fault. But I'd prefer it. That's kind of my thing. I think it's underappreciated in terms of I think that both these fan bases hate each other as much as Bama and Auburn hate each other. But the stakes aren't generally as high. So it's kind of it gets a different reputation nationally.
When I was growing up, my mom always used to say things like she would root for South Carolina in games. And like when you're a kid, it doesn't make sense. Like you're Clemson and your friends are South Carolina, and that's easy, right? It's mm-hmm. It's like that. But mom always said that if they're better, them being South Carolina in this case, if they're better when you both play, then the win looks better.
Exactly.
You don't want to play South Carolina from a competitive standpoint, from a from a not a petty like, and I don't mean like if you hate South Carolina or you can't stand the people there, like that's all petty. Like there are people with legitimately good reasons to hate both sides, I'll be honest with you. But that being said, the from a competitive standpoint, if the game matters more, you can throw it in there. What have we said about Clemson so far? I had somebody hit me up on Twitter again today with that stupid thing where people say, well, who has Clemson beat? Oh, they've only got like one quality win. Well, you know, they've been consistently challenged all year more than any team in America, and they've won those games, and that matters. If your rival has the resume of Baylor, let's say, you're not saying anything about that win. Clemson is a program now where I think, and again, like you might throw a rock through my window tonight. Please don't. It's a new house, but don't do it. Sanders is fragile. The rivalry to me takes a backseat to what this is all about. When you're playing for and winning national championships, and when your rival's not, then this becomes, yes, it's a big game from the rivalry standpoint. It is. But it also becomes another data point in your college football playoff resume. If your rival is 3-9, that's a lot of fun to talk about around the water cooler, and that's a lot of fun to talk about to make fun of your buddies at work and to make fun of your wife because she's a Carolina fan or whatever, or vice versa. If it's Clemson's 3-9, then it's a lot of fun to make fun. But it doesn't help you in the playoff conversation to have a bunch of shambly teams on your schedule, even if that team is the rival you want to make fun of for the next year.
That's a great point. And, of course, per, you know, South Carolina state legislation, Clemson has to play South Carolina. You have no choice.
Correct.
So you have to play them whether they're 3-9 or 9-3 or whatever. I think the perfect example of this, we see it this year with Ohio State. Wouldn't Ohio State, who was fighting tooth and nail for their playoff lives, they still have a chance to win the Big Ten championship, they have two losses, wouldn't it help them if Michigan was good?
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it help them tremendously if Michigan, who they have to play and who they're playing in the final weekend before the Big Ten championship, if Michigan was a legitimate top 15, not a number 24 in the country paper tiger that can't throw the ball forward, if they were actually a top 15 team, it would help Michigan and help Ohio State tremendously. Auburn is a two-loss team. Auburn gets to play their rival, who happens to be number one in the country. If they beat their rival and then they win the SEC championship, they're in. So it really does help you, especially when you're competing, like you said, for national championships. And maybe one year you lose two games. Maybe you do. But because your rival is elite and you have a chance to beat them and play them, it can help you in the long run. So I am totally, and have always been, you know, of this mindset. My dad taught me this, because in terms of OU Texas, growing up with OU Texas at the height of that rivalry in the 00s, when both teams were competing for national championships all the time, to beat that team was your signature win. And you knew you had a chance because you play them every year and you had a chance to get a signature win. I'm not saying that times will come very soon where South Carolina will be Clemson's signature win. But it would be nice if it was a decent win. And this year, I think it will look like a decent win because Carolina has won 8 games.
There were times during that streak of 5 where Clemson was South Carolina's highest quality win.
Yes, and vice versa. If Clemson had found a way to beat Carolina, maybe some years it was Florida State. But, you know, I mean, the streak of 5, I would say South Carolina got the benefited from that because they got quality wins every November.
That's exactly right. In fact, Sanders has an interesting take on this, too, and he's working, but I'm going to speak on his behalf of a conversation that we've had before and something that was on his Twitter account, a poll that he put up yesterday about which game had the most pressure tied to it for Clemson. And we can talk about pressure in this game as well in that context. I think that'll be a lot of fun. 654 Roar is the number. We can take your phone calls here today on the North of Communication phone lines. 986-1566. The Health Dare text line is open. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you. At Qualk Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 1055 The Roar. We encourage you to get in with us on Twitter as well. Hey, impress your friends and family with a clean home. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. They're just like new. They use empowered water, so there's no residue or odors or toxic chemicals left behind. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Call Zero Res today, 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. Short break of Tiger Tuesday, live from the indoor practice facility in Clemson. We'll return for more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
Fall is here, and Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson has all the new fall arrivals from your favorite brands like Southern Marsh, Patagonia, True Grit, Woolrich, and more. Elkmont is the area's most unique, locally owned outdoor shop, women's boutique, shoe store, men's clothing store, and fly fishing shop. From candles, jewelry, and dresses to tents, kayaks, and fly fishing gear, Elkmont has something for everyone. Currently, Elkmont has huge discounts on stand-up paddle boards and kayaks. Elkmont also has the area's largest selection of Chacos and Birkenstock sandals. On your next visit, make sure you try Elkmont's restaurant, featuring local craft beer, an excellent wine list, and great food and an eclectic rustic decor. All that's missing is you. Elkmont is located across from Bojangles in Clemson at the intersection of Highway 123 and 93. Remember, folks, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
The weather's getting colder and the great deals are heating up at George Coleman Ford, where SUVs cost less than travelers rest. Get a 2017 Explorer V6 four-door sale price at just $34,470 after $3,500 rebate plus tax and tax. And remember, there are never any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford, serving you for over 86 years in four generations. George Coleman Ford, for the ride of a lifetime.
Must finance with Ford Motor Credit.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Two for Tuesday. Buy one roll and get the second half price. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Is on the air.
You represent the government of juvenile delinquents.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
I knew my rent was going to be late about a week ago.
Welcome back to the indoor practice facility in Clemson. Glad to have you with us. Out of bounds here on a Tiger Tuesday. Last show for a couple days, pre-Thanksgiving. Do want to wish everyone happy Thanksgiving out here. Don't let the IRS wreck your Thanksgiving. That's what a lawyer like David Green is for. The Green Law Firm, they can hook you up with the peace of mind and results you're entitled to so you can get your life back from the IRS. If you haven't had a good experience with the IRS, you're not alone. Don't call some 1-800 company, some out-of-towner, give your personal information to a stranger, may or may not work with you. The solution to your problems is in Greenville. It's a Clemson grad who's been dealing with the IRS for over 20 years. If they put liens on your property, garnish your wages, if you've got an audit coming up, he's got the relationships with local IRS agents, with national IRS agents to quickly get you the right solution. He can leverage the ever-changing tax code, the Fresh Start program for your advantage as well. The professional staff of the Green Law Firm can do it all. Do yourself a big favor. Call them today for a free strategy session, 271-7940. That's 271-7940. Or stop by their office, 11 McGee Street in Greenville, or on the web at greenlaw.legal. That's greenelaw.legal. This is an interesting conversation. Does Clemson have pressure coming into this game? I want to talk about that, but first let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines, or I guess they do have pressure, but to what extent does Clemson have pressure to win coming into this game? Jason in Columbia is up with us first here on the program. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Kwok. Hey, Kelly. I just want to say that, man, after listening to this conversation, I really hope y'all find Jesus over Thanksgiving, because I can't believe the blasphemy I'm hearing over here. I mean, this is just, let me make something clear. If Carolina was playing an all-star team made up of the Nazis and ISIS, the best I could do is pull for an asteroid, you know, that wiped out the dinosaurs to hit the field. I mean, I would be perfectly fine with Carolina being 0-11 every year coming into this game. I don't care about what the national media thinks. Al Davis said, just win, baby. That's all I need is for Clemson to win this rivalry 56-7, 63-17, 45-0. if we are dependent upon Carolina to boost our playoff resume, then that means we didn't take care of business during the season. And I'll take that for, you know, however many times that occurs, versus having Carolina actually be a decent program. And let me throw this at you. It does not benefit Clemson in any way for Carolina to be good. Obviously, Clemson can recruit on a national level now. We've done that for years. But the state of South Carolina is obviously too small to really sustain two successful D1 programs. History has proved that. Think back to that five-peat they had and ask yourself, how many of those games would they have won if Clowney, Lattimore, Gilmore, and some of those super talented recruits that were in the state of South Carolina had come to Clemson instead? Okay? Does that make sense to you? I don't want them being... I mean, the Columbia media is already propping Muschamp up. I heard someone ask Dabo about it. The great job he's doing in year two, they're already up to 8 wins. Well, they play one of the weakest schedules in the worst division in college football, but we'll just overlook that. So I can't imagine what they'd be doing if they actually had a legitimately good program. So no, guys. And Kelly, I know Oklahoma, Texas, that's a big national rivalry. That's respect. But it's different when you got to grow up in the state of South Carolina right next door to these people, okay? It's different. And I don't want them enjoying any measure of success ever, if I made that clear.
Jason, you made it very clear, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I get what he's saying. I understand the perspective. I'm pretty sure that if South Carolina is like 8-4 or 7-5 or whatever, like you could still beat them by 40. And, like, you can say, it's not like, well, South Carolina's good, so all the games got to be 3 points. Like, you can advocate and eat it too a little bit on this. I do think, as a friend of mine points out on my personal text line, Jason did say, y'all need to find Jesus over Thanksgiving. But then, like, 30 seconds later, he said he would pull for ISIS in a battle with South Carolina. I think that's interesting. I guess I just don't see it. I feel like there's an insecurity about Clemson's success that makes Clemson people care about what South Carolina's doing.
To his point that South Carolina is too small to sustain two major Division I programs, which I think is an interesting point. It is. The population of the state of South Carolina is 4.9 million. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The population of the state of Alabama is 4.8 million.
Huh.
And they have the two of the six best teams in the country. I don't think that argument is legitimate. I don't. I mean,
you say three of the 10 best. And Auburn's up there, right?
No, I was talking about Alabama and Auburn. They have two of the top six.
Oh, I thought you were talking about combine the two six.
No, go ahead. So, I mean, honestly, and I get it. Like, I didn't grow up here. So if you want to keep playing that card, you can. I mean, I guess I don't understand it as much as maybe Quack does, and that's fine. I'll admit it. But I think it is just absolutely insecure, like you said, Quack, to want South Carolina to be 0-11 every single year.
I never had like this, I didn't grow up with a seething hatred of South Carolina. I never grew up like hating the Gamecocks. My dad's the pastor of the church my dad served when I was in elementary school. He played for South Carolina. A lot of our friends in that church, a lot of people we still hang out with, are South Carolina fans who like go to games and are like they give money. So I get all that. I understand it. And a lot of those people are listeners to the station. We appreciate that. but that, like there is something about like having done radio during the five-peat where you just start, it just starts to wear on you. Like it kind of does. If you're a Clemson person, you work for Clemson, live in Clemson, what like it does change your perspective on things. So I get the frustration there of I hope they're 1-11 and their one win is by 3 points over an FCS team and I never want to see or hear from them again. I understand it now better than I did when I was growing up and even in college. But I'll say this too. Dabo pointed out some points in 2007 from the game where Mark Buchholz made the kick. I started to kind of loathe South Carolina fans because I was not in anybody's face. I'm not a confrontational person. I don't talk junk to people. That's just not who I am. As a player, yes. As a fan, no. Never done it. Didn't understand why people did it. That being said, there were more hurtful and horrible things said to me before, during, and after the Clemson-South Carolina game in 2007 than I care to remember. People tried to steal stuff out of my mom's car. People said mean and nasty things to me walking out of the stadium after Clemson won when, like, me and my buddies just weren't even saying, like, we weren't even doing anything. They're just not, like, they're not a nice group of people. And so I get it. I understand.
Okay. Look, you bring up the five, Pete. No way am I saying here that it's good that Carolina wins five in a row in this series. That's terrible.
You
I would
can
never
beat South Carolina
that.
When they're good, by
yes,
the way. People,
that's the whole
people
point.
Link those two things, and that's not
that's
okay.
The whole point. You know, if we had it our way, then Clemson would never lose to Carolina again. And personally, Carolina would be really good every time Clemson beats them. I mean, that's what I would prefer. But I'll tell you this, Quack. How about this? I will give you my perspective on Monday after I have been to the game. Because I haven't been to a Clemson-Carolina game in Williams-Brice. We'll see if my perspective changes, because I feel like everyone says this about every fan
base. It's a neat experience.
They're terrible. They're awful. They're hateful. They're the worst. And trust me, I don't like South Carolina. I don't at all. But I'm really intrigued to see how the experience goes, because I feel like you can say that to a certain extent about every fan base. But rarely have I heard, I mean, if the of the 30 people I've told I'm going to this game, 29 of them have just ranted about how terrible this fan base is. So I'm really interested. I'm really interested to experience it firsthand. I'll just put it that way. That being said, I still stand by my point. I want Carolina to have at least 8 wins when we beat them. That's my perspective. But again, I didn't grow up here, so it's a little different. It's a little different. I'll admit that.
I grew up here, and I'd rather do this than a 3-9. And here's another thing about it.
There's no use in playing them when they're 3-9.
And here's why I say that. Back in 2015, the last time Clemson went there, South Carolina was 3-8 with an interim coach. Clemson, having never played for a national championship before, having never sniffed in the modern era, having not sniffed a national championship game in over 30 years. That there is legitimate, I would say legitimate concern in that game that there's nothing for you to gain except for another data point. There's everything for you to lose.
Yes.
There's way more pressure on you when that's the case than, like, say, this game. You've already won a national championship. You play for another one. Like, you're not trying to get somewhere that you've never been before. And quite honestly, I understand it from the standpoint of somebody who grew up in the state. I understand that. But to me, this program is just mature. It's a more mature program now than it was maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever. And so,
yes,
from that standpoint, Kelly, I agree. And we'll see if our next guest agrees.
But the point is, when you play a 3-8 Carolina, you literally have nothing to gain. That's the point. You have if it's a win, you lose because it's not a good win. If you lose, it's the end of the world.
That's a very good point. Our very good friend, Mylon Richard, joins us here on the program once again. Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for being back. And we're doing great. We're talking about this rivalry. And, like, I'm an in-state guy. I grew up around here. And Kelly is from Texas. But somehow we end up on the same, side of this thing, where we just feel like this, a lot of people would rather beat South Carolina sometimes than win the national championship. And I just disagree with that. What is your coming into Clemson? Right. What was your perception of the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry?
You know, being from Georgia, so, you know, we always had Georgia-Florida. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I looked at the game. And then I realized, you know, it was a little bit different because both schools were in the same state. And so I think that just magnified it even more for me. But I definitely understand that it's a big deal.
Well, I mean, you talk about Georgia, Florida not being in the same state. One of the callers, and we're just going to, you know, pick Mylon's brain on this topic this discussion we're having, but one of the callers said that because South Carolina is such a small state, right, about 5 million people, that it's impossible for both Clemson and Carolina to be elite at the same time per in-state recruiting. What do you think when you hear that sentence?
You know, honestly, I'm so far removed from recruiting
that it's been
really,
a while.
I really don't even know who's coming out of the state of South Carolina. Yeah. So it would be hard for me to comment on that because I'm not a recruiter per se. You know, so I think if you asked our coaches, they would definitely have some solid input for you, y'all on recruiting.
That is such a good answer. He's so diplomatic. Okay, let me ask you this then. As a guy from Georgia,
right,
have you had a few instances where a guy from South Carolina that's your teammate here at Clemson has kind of told you a personal story or kind of a personal explanation as to this Clemson-Carolina rivalry?
I think Kendall had to do the media yesterday, and he, you know, said it great when he was growing up, being from Belton, and, you know, he went to school, and, you know, people were either wearing orange or they were wearing South Carolina colors, and that you just kind of chose, and that was it for the rest of your life. So that's kind of the best way that somebody's kind of explained it to me is, you know, it's a childhood thing. You know, once you make that decision, there's no crossing teams or going back and forth or anything like that. So you're on one side for life.
Visiting with Mylon Richard, tight end for the Tigers. Your thoughts on Saturday's game, and what do you take out of what was a game that for us in the media was about sort of the pomp and circumstance of military appreciation, the seniors and all that, getting guys in the game. Right. What do you take away as players from that?
Tremendous momentum. We take a lot of the rhythm away from that game. That's one thing that we were just talking about. Coach Swinney all last week was talking about us, you know, hitting our stride and coming out of this game with a lot of momentum and rhythm, you know, carrying to our finish. So that's something that we wanted to come out and establish offensively, was just a good rhythm and, you know, everybody being in sync and all that. And the defense did their part as well, and so did special teams. So great game all the way around.
You talk about rhythm. You guys really hadn't played an opponent that, I mean, let's be honest, was just overmatched. Since the first game, you've played like what, 9 straight games where you've had to kind of, yeah, you've been better than those teams, but you've had to scratch and claw a little bit, and you've had to kind of find it. Was it nice to have a game where you can take some time and energy and devote that toward just getting your rhythm, just getting timing right, and building confidence?
Yeah, it is nice, but I miss the scratch and claw games. You know, I'm ready to get back to it. We were talking about it kind of on the sidelines, Kelly and I, and some of the older guys were just like, hey, you know, this was fun, but, you know, okay, we're ready for next week. We're ready to get back in the fight. So, but yeah, you know, it was great, like you said, just to come out and get the rhythm and, you know, try to dot the I's and cross all the T's. And then it was also Military Appreciation Day. That's a very prideful day here with our school being military heritage and all that. So it was very important that we came out and put on a show for all the veterans that were in the stands. And then our seniors. I mean, we have some seniors on this program that probably aren't going to play much down the road. So it was very important to get them in the game and get them in front of the home crowd on Senior Day.
You talk about putting on a show. Now, this, I mean, we've heard so much about T. Higgins coming into the year, and we saw some clips in practice and all this stuff, but did he surprise you at all, or is that what he does in practice?
No, I wasn't surprised. You know, we see him run by people all the time. And so the catch was a little surprising, yeah. I would say that. Yeah, the way he caught the ball. But just his execution, you know, he does that in practice. So not too surprised, but I think he's going to be a great player. I can't wait to see what he does in the future.
What do you see from South Carolina in terms of matchup, particularly for you as a tight end?
Right. They're good up front. I mean, they have two defensive ends that are really good. I think at linebacker, they run well and they're athletic. And on the back end, they're quick, fast guys. So it'll be a good game all the way around for our offense completely.
A little bit off the wall question. We talked a little bit about this off air. What's your favorite Thanksgiving tradition?
Favorite Thanksgiving tradition? Wow. So we always used to go to my grandma's for Thanksgiving, Wrightsville, Georgia. And everybody would come there, and then we'd eat, and then afterwards everybody would go around and say what they're thankful for. So I think that's it for me, because, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's very simple, and sometimes somebody have the whole room crying. So it just depends.
All right, in that vein, Mylon, what are you thankful for this year?
I would probably say my parents. Blessed with two great parents. You know, they guided me, and, you know, probably my biggest support system now. I would still say if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be here. Honestly, so just my parents, you know, being two great role models and not having to look outside of the home for advice or anything like that. I could just go to my parents, and they pretty much were able to take care of whatever I needed.
I love that. I also like waiting till everybody's done eating to say what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
Because beforehand, I always thought it was weird that people did that beforehand. Like, we just didn't.
We do it beforehand.
We have a big family, and right. So there's people in a lot of rooms, so
yeah,
we kind of just pray.
Like too. Yeah.
We like
we
have do one, it before. We have one prayer, and then we eat.
You do it when everyone's gathered for prayer. That's what you do.
Look, it's like 2 o'clock. Right. That's right.
Take way too long.
People are hungry.
And people are hungry.
Is that
it's
the
like
key?
2 o'clock at our house, and we're trying to eat. We are starving. There's been a lot of energy. We're thankful that it's time to eat. Everybody is. So when you're full, you got a better perspective on like other things you're
correct,
thankful for.
Yeah.
Now that you're full, so I like that. Maybe we'll think about that in the future.
Was that maybe Uncle Herschel's idea, or
I think it was my grandma's.
Okay.
So my grandma's. He tried to take credit for it, probably. He tried to take credit for a lot of stuff that happened to the game.
You've been to Georgia games, obviously.
Correct.
And you've been to Clemson, South Carolina games.
Right.
A lot of times Clemson fans compare Georgia fans to South Carolina. In fact, I have one tweeter that said that Kelly, as long as she wears neutral colors, will be fine at Williams-Brice, and they're not quite as bad as Georgia fans in Williams-Brice. Which fan base, this is a loaded question, fan base is more savage? We'll use that term.
Between
South Carolina and Georgia.
Wow. Well, as a Clemson player, I've only played against Georgia once. And so, and I wasn't playing. I was just a redshirt guy, so I was just on the sideline. So I wouldn't say, you know, one side is more savage, but I would just say I have more experience being against the South Carolina fans, if that answers your question.
Do you have any fun Williams-Brice stories? Like with fans Williams or in the game Bryce or whatever, like from a couple years ago? Yeah, from a couple years ago,
yeah,
so nothing?
So I've only been there once. You know, I was just telling them, they asked me what I remember from the game. I said, I definitely remember us winning because it was a big deal. We hadn't won down there in so long. And then I know it was a tight game because it came down to some onside kicks, I think, right at the end. So, but I don't know. That's a good question, man. I don't know which side's more savage. So me being on the Georgia side for so long, maybe I was a part of their savage.
okay.
So I don't know.
That's good. I like that. Hey, I'm just saying, you get to the helmet at the end of the game, or to the tunnel at the end of the game, keep that helmet on, man. I'm just telling you. Learned the hard four years ago. Learned the hard way.
Wow, that's funny.
You got anything else for Milan?
I love how diplomatic Milan is. I mean, this guy could run for president. I'm pretty sure he could.
I don't know about all that.
I think he could.
I don't
know
if I want the pressures.
It is the hardest job in the world.
If you need a speechwriter, let me know.
I mean, he just,
like speechwriter.
Never a wrong step with his answers, but still truthful, so we appreciate that.
Right. I'm glad you have to throw that in, like, politicians don't tell the truth.
No, but he does.
Like, yeah, right. Milan, we appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Cool. Thank you guys for having
me, as
always.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll be back for more. 654-ROAR is the phone number if you'd like to get in with us. A lot of people are. Phone lines open for the vast majority of the remainder of the show today, except when we have guests come over. Stay with us. More rivalry conversation when we return Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Fans, join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
A need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports in Seneca and Anderson makes it easy for you to ride in style in your new EasyGo golf cart. With a great selection of new EasyGo golf carts and 0% financing for 36 months, there's something for everyone. R&R offers great service, too, with pickup and delivery available. This Clemson football season, save yourself from all that walking. Rent a golf cart for the game at R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports on 123 in Seneca and Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at rrgolfcarts.com.
If only closing on a new home was as easy as buying a cup of coffee. But it's not. It's complicated. Holiday Law Firm can help take the hassle out of buying a home. With a focus on real estate law, Hayes Holiday and his team strive for you to have the best possible closing experience. Offering a free consultation and working with your bank and realtor, they can help you with your next purchase, refi, or home equity line. No matter your budget, you'll get the same care with Holiday Law Firm. Experience the difference at holidaylawfirm.com. Go Tigers!
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
Rely on EnviroMulch, supplying quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their fall special, get double ground hardwood mulch for just $20 per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply from your friends at EnviroMulch. Go Tigers!
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color. What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent, local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 16% or less than 6? The answer is obvious. LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.49% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to lightstream.com/sports. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 16% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to lightstream.com/sports. That's lightstream.com/sports. lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Advertised rates, terms, and promotions are subject to change without notice. Conditions and limitations apply. Visit LightStream.com for important terms and conditions.
Sanvic Coromant, located in Westminster, wants to wish the Clemson Tigers all the best on their 2017 football season. Specializing in tooling for the metal cutting industry, Sanvic Coromant is shaping the future of global manufacturing through extensive R&D, recruiting, and training those who strive to be the best. Just like the Clemson Tigers, who recognize the importance of recruiting and training to attain football excellence. Keep on winning, Tigers, from Sanvic Coromant in Westminster.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I was being sarcastic.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. You know, I know I'm wrong on this. I know I'm wrong on it that, you know, South Carolina's 0-12, the world's a better place and all that. It'll quicken the return of Christ and all that. Like, I get it. I understand it. 0-12 South Carolina's the thing that makes the world go around. I get it. I understand everybody feels that way. On my tombstone, it'll say William Quackenbush. Here lies William Quackenbush, who was wrong about South Carolina. I get it.
Are we just too rational about it?
Probably. I feel like there are so many other programs that are also hate-worthy. If you're a Clemson fan, like Florida State.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people hate Georgia Tech.
Let me tell you
like
this.
Georgia. Like, I mean, there's so many hate-worthy programs. Why South Carolina? Why? Why is that the one that gets all the hate when you're, like, way up at the tip-top of programs?
I think in general, and I've made my disdain for Florida State somewhat known on this program. In general.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a little bit.
You want to go through the bullets again?
No, I mean. I mean
We know.
They've won four games. In general.
The quarterback didn't even go to the game Saturday.
The Florida State-Florida game is airing on Nickelodeon on Saturday. Come on, people.
I think it's actually at noon.
Let's not kick a mother down. Yeah. Let's not kick a mother down.
Right.
But I think if you just, over the last, what, since I got here in 2011, I think I have more reason to hate Florida State than South Carolina. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's blasphemy. We're going to get phone calls on that. 654 Roar is the number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. I want to tell you first that Crude LED can light up your world. It'll light up your life. And more specifically, it'll light up your business. If you're a business owner out there who wants to save a little money, you can, and you don't have to sacrifice lighting to do it. It makes you safer. It makes you more efficient. It makes your people happier. It's a brighter workplace. You can do that with upfront rebates as a Duke Energy customer through Crude LED. They're going to give you light fixtures and the lights themselves for an upfront discount. That's the only thing that people use to justify not getting LED lighting. Now you're out of excuses. More information, go to the website, crudeled.com. That's K-R-U-T-L-E-D.com. Visit their office, 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, right before J. Peters on exit 19B, or call them, 864-401-8506. Jeff in Utah is up with us next on the program, the North of Communication phone lines. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Quan.
What's going on, man?
Doing pretty well. I think one of the unique things about this rivalry, Clemson-South Carolina, is the fact that both teams are by far the other team's top rival. Like, if you look at other rivalries like Texas-Oklahoma, Texas also got Texas A&M, Oklahoma's also got Oklahoma State. Even Michigan has, you know, Michigan State as well, and even Alabama hates Tennessee kind of like as a rival. But Clemson, I mean, who's Clemson's second biggest rival? Who's South Carolina's second biggest rival? it, whoever it is, it pales in comparison for the hate that each other have for each other. So I think that makes the rivalry pretty intense as far as national standards. I don't know about, because, I mean, several, like Georgia, I mean, Georgia had like five rivals. So the Clemson South Carolina, the Clemson South Carolina really is unique, I think. But the reason why I feel like it doesn't get national prominence is, this is going to sound weird, but the fact that it doesn't have like a flashy nickname that people can recognize is right off the bat, like, oh, that's Clemson, South Carolina. Like, you've got others like the Apple Cup or the Civil War, Bedlam, the Egg Bowl, things that just kind of are catchy and people remember. Clemson, South Carolina doesn't really have that nationally, so I think that actually holds it back, like, from someone in Michigan caring about Clemson, South Carolina, because it doesn't have like a, you know, right off the tongue remembrance rivalry type of thing.
You know what? That's interesting, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. That's an interesting point,
yeah,
that the Palmetto Bowl hasn't caught on like some of these time-worn nicknames, Iron Bowl, Egg Bowl, you know, Red River Rivalry or Red River Shootout, World's Largest Outdoor Cocktail Party, you could say, Deep South Oldest Rivalry with Georgia Auburn.
I don't normally care about Oregon, Oregon State, but the fact that it's called the Civil War, I love that. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, even, like, I think Louisville, Kentucky is, like, the Commonwealth Cup or something like that.
I thought
like
it was
that,
the Bourbon Bowl
like
or
that.
Something.
Well, the tailgate
both
party
fan
gets
bases.
Another nickname. Right? Right? It kind of is.
I think Palmetto Bowl is a step in the right direction, though. I like that name. It just hasn't really... It's better than playing for the Hardee's Trophy.
Right. Right. Yeah, we don't talk about that. You gotta love Hardee's. Brian in Greenville's up with us next. What's up, Brian?
Appreciate the time. You know, I get it, Clemson Network. I'm a Gamecock. But I do think, you know, tearing down and, you know, vilifying the other, you know, is just immature. Both fan bases have people that act, you know, like immature people, and others, you know, show their character. But you know, I'm looking forward to this game. Quack, you stole my thunder a little bit. The pressure is on the Tigers, and we're definitely better. Are we where we want to be? No. But, you know, we're a whole lot better than most people even gave respect for as far as this year. And for, you know, a W, obviously, love to have a W. It's doable. Everybody that thinks it's not, I think maybe you should, you know, check yourself a little bit. Sure, Tigers are better, but we've all seen the better team lose. And I do agree. I think that's a great point. You know, the name, we all, you know, we remember them considering a new name, and you know, the Palmetto Bowl is what they came up with. A little lame. Also, a couple callers back, I think, you know, revisionists are rampant this week, but to say we play the worst schedule, at the beginning of the year, we were number 5 as far as RPI schedule will face, and I bet you we're better than the Tigers. You know, here at the end of the year, coming into this game, I think our strength of schedule is probably better than the Tigers. I don't know, but I know we're definitely not the worst schedule we've played. But anyway, I think... You know, I'm looking for a good game. You know, I'll give a prediction closer, but you know, I'd love to see a W, of course, but probably Tigers by 10. But anyway, thanks for the time.
Sure, thanks, Brian. I appreciate the phone call. That was tone it down, Brian, by the way, and he toned it down, that phone call.
It was very rational.
He toned it down. That was really cool.
I don't mind it.
I 100% agree with what he said there. I do think that you have to do some gymnastics to kind of get South Carolina in a good spot in this game. I really and truly believe that you got to do some gymnastics to give South Carolina a fighting chance. I looked at some stats this morning, and you folks know, if you listen to this show, I'm not just looking at rushing yards, passing yards. I'm looking at things like havoc rate. I'm looking at things like points per possession. I'm looking at things like the S&P numbers. I'm looking at things like in the analytic sense. South Carolina is worse than Clemson in every conceivable way. Now, the venue nullifies some of that, but the S&P has Clemson beating South Carolina by 11. Clemson's ranked 9th in the S&P. South Carolina's ranked 63rd. And also there's this, and I want to make sure this is clear. The people who think that Clemson has played a weak schedule don't know what a strong schedule looks like. Nobody can point out a strong schedule. If you don't think Clemson's schedule has been strong, at least from a body of work perspective and being tested every single week and all that jazz, then you can't point out a tough schedule in America. Again, I had a guy on Twitter this morning talk about, well, Clemson's only got like 1.5 quality wins. And that's a load of horse crap because nobody has quality wins. If Clemson doesn't have quality wins, nobody has quality wins. They beat more winning teams than everybody. I hate the thing where the playoff committee uses its own rankings to make a stat. Like, they'll use their own rankings, and their first defense for having a team up there is like, well, you know, they had 4 wins against the top 25 that we came up with. They can make the rankings say whatever they want. So I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just a standpoint of you have played winning teams or 500 teams or teams that are generally respected over and over and over and over and over again, more so than anybody else in the country, and you've beaten them. Maybe there are teams that have 4 losses and have 2 better high-profile wins, like an Iowa State or somebody, than Clemson does. Are we really going to put Iowa? Are we going to say Iowa State's resume is better than Clemson's? Like, give me a break with this. I don't want to hear that kind of logic on here because it's illogical. South Carolina's schedule is not even remotely close to Clemson's schedule. Like, not even remotely close. You know where Clemson ranks on South Carolina in terms of the level of, I'm just using S&P right now, where Clemson ranks on South Carolina's schedule, like in terms of the strength of their opponents. 2nd behind just Georgia. Here are some of the ranks of the teams that Clemson's played in the S&P. You ready? NC State's 44. Missouri's 30. Then it gets real tough when they get into the conference schedule. Kentucky, 88. Louisiana Tech, 89. Texas A&M, 61. Arkansas, 95. Tennessee, 104. Vanderbilt, 90. Georgia, 5. Florida, 83. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams outside the top 45 in the S&P. That's 7 out of the 11 that they've played. You look at Clemson from that standpoint, outside the top 40, let's say outside the top 45. You know who Clemson's played outside the top 45 of the S&P? Oh, by the way, that's 7 out of the 10 games because Wofford doesn't count. 7 of the 10 that South Carolina's played outside the top 45. You know how many teams Clemson's played outside the top 45 in the S&P? They played 5. So, I mean, you could make an argument that South Carolina's schedule is as tough or they've done as much as Clemson, but that would be a foolish argument. In fact, that'd be a terrible argument. It doesn't even stand up to any logical test. But no litmus test anybody's putting on anybody's schedule will tell you that South Carolina and Clemson are equals in this way. I mean, that's just totally illogical. That completely and totally confounds the mind that people are saying this. Like, South Carolina's 4th best opponent was NC State, or 3rd best opponent. Clemson, they're like 6. Man, give me a break with this. I'm tired of people trying to say Clemson hasn't played anybody, because legitimately you can make the argument based on stats and figures that people have come up with that there's no team that's accomplished more than Clemson has this year from a week-to-week body of work standpoint. That's it. It just is what it is. Bottom line. We'll talk more about this rivalry in hour number 2 coming up. Also, Tavian Feaster is going to join us to talk about running the ball.